Welcome to the Dayspring Audio Library, the teaching ministry of Pastor Daniel Rehoff. Thanks for joining us. We hope this message will have a powerful impact on your life. So sit back and enjoy today's time in the Word.
We have a letter from the field is what we're gonna cover today. And today, I'm picturing the field is not, you know, the field is not there, you know, the field of grass. I'm thinking like the field is in like the harvest of souls, right? The field is in going into the mission field, that kind of a picture. And so today, our pastor, the Youngs, the Rehoff family are in India. They're planting seeds, right? They're planting seeds. They're laboring in the mission field. And I do find this interesting. Pastor Dan and I have communicated every day, pretty much. I would say every day. And I see pictures and videos and just what they're up to. It's kind of fun. I've been showing the kids in school. We'll just hook up my phone to the TV, and we'll be showing pictures of, okay, this is what they did today. They were at the seminary, he's teaching. Here they are, you know, doing this. And here's, you know, a video of them driving through the streets of India, which is very interesting. They got smart, though. I have noticed something. They put a nice, tall concrete curb in between the two directions of traffic, so that you don't have cars, you know, so everyone stays on their side, so that's a good thing. So I'm seeing some really cool things in the development of their traffic systems, because it is just interesting to watch. But it's been interesting to see pictures and be updated with that stuff. I think of my youth, my dad being a medical doctor, my mom being a nurse, and starting about 1995, they would travel to India. They were then traveling to Thailand. They would go to the Philippines, and they would do medical missions. And so as an elementary school kid in 1995, I don't know, second grade, third grade, somewhere around there, I would get called in the middle of the school day to come to the preschool office at the church I grew up in, and they would say, Jay, you know, and they'd call my two brothers, and we'd go into the office, and they'd have the landline, and they would be like, it's your parents, here, go ahead and talk. Hello? Hello? Hi, Jay. It'd be like this long, delayed, you know, it's just, I don't know. I don't know how many of you have ever done like an international call back then. It was this delayed, long, drawn out, like, Dad, are you having fun? Yeah. It's like, all right, we got it. But it was always interesting just because there were years of that, and it would make my day, right? Talking to my parents, how's it going? What have you been doing? We saw a ton of patients yesterday, and they were giving patients the gospel as they were doing it, so it was really cool. God really used it. It was just one of those things that after getting off the phone, I always left that office. First of all, I got to get out of school, so that was a big win. And then I got back to school, and it was like, man, you know what? I feel pretty good about myself. My parents are still alive. They know who I am. And they're probably coming back, you know, for me. But I will say this, I did not suffer during those mission trips because most of them, my grandma came to stay. And grandma made the best French toast. Grandma's fresh, it was freshly made. She'd make it, and it was every morning. She'd be like, you sure you don't want eggs? Nope, French toast, that's what we want. And she'd have it all ready to go. She'd have her cute little radio. She'd be listening in the kitchen to the radio, and she always listened to the news in the morning. So it was one of those things where she would just, you know, she'd be tidying up all week long, and they'd be gone for 2 to 3 weeks. Like, they were longer missions trips. And so it was just a memory. So I was thinking about that, and yesterday, actually, it's this Monday, but yesterday we saw her. Do you have that picture? This is my grandma who used to watch me back in the day. She's turning 95 on Monday. So that's my grandma. She's still going strong. And so we had a nice big big birthday party celebration for her. So God bless her. She actually gave at her birthday party. She gave a. My dad asked to share her like most favorite story, and you know, what is the thing that impacted you the most? And she wrote it out. She didn't want to read it because she was going to cry. And the story was her testimony of getting saved. At 12, almost 12 years old, she got saved at a revival meeting with Billy Graham, which is kind of crazy. I had no clue. I did not know that story. So grandparents, you impact those kids. You impact those grandkids. And you know what's awesome is every time I talk to her, she's like, I pray for you every night, and I'm always praying for you. And it's like, oh, man, that's an awesome thing. Talk about making an impact on you. So it goes back to these missions trips. You know, grandma would come to stay. She'd spend time. She would invest in us. She would spoil us rotten. And then she'd leave. But it was awesome. We enjoyed it. And then my mom would be like, man, what did she do? She organized everything differently than what I used to do. And it always made for fun. But then I think about how, you know, how communication has changed. You know, from a long delayed telephone call that, you know, maybe you got once every couple days. Can you imagine, how many of you remember the international calling and the rates, the expense to call? I don't know how much those, you know, 5-minute, 10-minute phone calls cost. I'm sure they were ridiculous. But how it's progressed from the 90s to today where it's, what is it? It's free. It's, you know, you get on an app and you can Zoom call, you can Skype, you can do WhatsApp, you know, you got all these options available and very cost effective, if not free. But then I think about back in the day, you know, you start going back, you send a letter and it was snail mail, it was on a ship, right? There was no guarantee that it was going to get there, right? And then you think about these caravans, you know, that would carry, you know, letters, and you'd have to send a messenger and they'd carry it. Like, it would take forever to get that stuff to where it needed to go. So we are just blessed to have the communication that we have today, that technology, right? Technology can be used for a lot of bad, right? It can be used for a lot of bad, but it can also be used for a lot of good. And that's just an awesome thing that we have. I think about the letters, though, that were preserved for us. You know, we think about the epistles. We think about the letters from Paul. And that's what we're going to look at today. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I was, whenever I get, you know, the call, Jay start warming up. You know, it's like the call of the bullpen. There's like the, oh man, crud, what am I going to speak on? And I remember, you know, even the last couple weeks, like, God, you got to show me what you want. You know, I want it to be your message, not just something that I, you know, is the next thing here. I want it to be really something that God wants me to speak on. So I was searching, and this is just the passage that I just felt that God wanted me to talk on. And it's just, it's, you know, this letter is what, 2,000 years old? This letter that we're going to read today, 2,000 years old, but man, is it applicable. It is applicable in our lives today. And that's because it's what? It's the living word of God. It's the living word of God. So let's go ahead and we'll dig into this. I'll try not to be too long-winded today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. You think about the itinerary that they have. You know, they're jet lagged, they're tired, it's hot. You know, there's a lot of stuff that they're let alone they're spiritually, right? They're under attack, right? Do you think the devil wants them doing what they're doing on a missions trip? So you think about all those things, and you know what I find interesting? Paul's writing this. What's the first thing he says in this chapter 3? Finally, brethren, what does he want them to do, this church in Thessalonica? Pray for us. Okay, that's his heart. Here I am, I'm in the field, I'm doing the work of God, I'm writing back to you, church, that's supporting me, and I want you to pray. I want you to pray. Well, that's Paul's heart, but who else has that heart? What did we do last Sunday? We need to pray, right? Pastor Dan's message, what did he say? He said, pray for what? Health, pray for safety, pray for the free God, you know, the gospel. And to me, it hits perfectly. Ready? Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord, what is the word of the Lord? The gospel. Okay, that's the gospel. That it may have what? Free course. Free course. And be glorified even as it is with you. You know what? A missions trip, you know what it needs? It needs a lot of prayer. It needs a lot of prayer. Right? Men can only do so much, and then we come to the end of ourselves. We need God. We need God. Paints a beautiful image. This verse paints a beautiful image of God's plan. That the gospel, you know, pray. You know, it's a church, a supporting church, right? Here we are, we're supporting the work that's happening in India right now, okay? What is our job? We're supposed to be supporting, right? That's our job. Support. How do we support? Well, we can support financially. We can support through prayer. Okay, we're not over there, but man, we can support through prayer and encouragement. And so that's what it is. Pray for free course, the free course of the gospel message. And that's a really cool thing to see how that just lines up to exactly Pastor Dan's heart. Okay, that's a cool thing to see. Man, you know what? That's good company. I'm praying. We're asking for the same stuff that Paul asked for. Bam. Okay, that's a good thing. That's in line with Scripture. That's a good thing. Let's do it. Let's do it. So we see a beautiful thing here. So pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Be glorified, even as it is with you. Even as it is with you. So apparently what? The word of the Lord had free course in Thessalonica, right? It's as it is with you. You know, you guys are having success in the mission field where you are. Man, pray for us where we are that it would have free course, that we would be, you know, able to do what God has for us. Man, what a great, great challenge. Paul's heart for the gospel to spread, not just to be contained to one town or one, you know, people group, but to expand and to spread. That's God's passion, right? Matthew 5. Talks about that. What is our job as believers? Ye are the light of the world. In chapter 5, verse 14, I should say. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men. You know what? Sometimes it's easy. Peer pressure is a powerful thing. Peer pressure is a powerful thing, and it's easy for us to get in the world, and everyone else, we're not seeing anyone else taking the stand, and it's like, well, I guess I don't want to do it either. No, what do we need to do? We need to let our light shine. Let our light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And here we have it, a commonality between that verse in Thessalonians and this one. What is the why? The why. What is the why to why we do this? He says, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. What's the end of that section in Matthew? Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. The why. Is it to glorify a man? No, it's not to glorify a man. It's to glorify our Father which is in heaven. That's the why. Why do we come to church? Is it because, you know, I get to rub shoulders with people? Yeah, okay, great. Fellowship is good. But the whole point is what? The ultimate goal is what? For us to what? Glorify our Father, which is in heaven. That's our job. That's our job. That's why we're here. And that's why we were created. Okay, that needs to be our heart. It's not about us. It's about Him. Get our focus off of ourself. I always scratch my head. I don't know how many of you have ever noticed this, but growing up in a church, you see different dynamics of people. And I'm not saying I've seen it here, so don't ever, anyone, like, if you take this personally, that's God working in you. I'm not applying this on anyone. But growing up, I remember there were certain people, and they would come to church, and it was a group of people that they could feast off of for their business. It was a social network that would advance their cause. And it was, is that the reason you go to church? No. No, it's not. And I found it disturbing. I found it very eye-opening. Like, that's not, like, that's great if it works out, you know, work amongst fellow believers. That's awesome. But if you're going to church to make connections and try to advance, you know, your own purposes, that's wrong. That's not right. That's not God's plan. Why are we a church? We're not here for ourselves. We're here for what? For Him. For Him. Okay? We want God to be glorified. So first thing, pray. Okay? And we should continue to keep the missions team in prayer. And for the free course of the clear gospel, we want it to get out. We want it to get out. They're giving all those, Pastor Dan showed that thumb drive, right? With that course on the gospel and evangelism. Well, you know what a great prayer would be? Lord, help it not to stop with just that pastor that gets that. That his sphere, he goes home and he gives it to, hey, I got this from, this pastor's conference. You got to check this out. Bam, bam, bam. And what are we seeing? We're seeing it spread like wildfire, right? That's cool. That's awesome. You know, those pastors know people that we'll never know. And then those people, that they can get influence, know people that we'll never, ever, ever, ever know. And we won't see the impact of that till when? Till heaven. Heaven is going to be awesome because we'll finally see all the fruit of that labor. That is awesome. So, all right, let's keep going in our passage. 2 Thessalonians 3, and we'll jump to chapter 2, okay? Chapter 3, verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Here is Paul. He's sharing his heart, and he says, as great as this message of the gospel is, there are those that would try to stop it. How many of you have realized in life that anything worth doing is usually difficult? Is it like easy to, can you just, one day turn around and get your college degree? Can you like one day turn around and like figure out life? Things take time, right? Like, I want to become a really good car mechanic, automobile mechanic. Do you learn that in a day? That takes a long time, right? If you want to become good at something, it takes time. It's usually difficult, right? Anything really worth doing, it's difficult. I like the saying, if it was easy, everyone would do it, right? Everyone would do it if it was easy. A missions trip is not just a trip to, a foreign land, and you wave hi to people, and then you leave. That's not a missions trip. A missions trip is you're impacting those people. You're in it to impact and to for a spiritual purpose. Okay, when we do stuff for the Lord, don't be shocked when the devil comes out and tries to slow us down and hinder us. I think of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18. It says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. But what happened? Satan hindered us. All right? We have an adversary. There is an adversary who's trying to slow us down, who's trying to stop us from being effective. And we need to constantly be checking and aware of our surroundings. Is the devil trying to prevent you from doing something for the Lord today? Is he preventing you? I think of all of the, who is that? A lot of, a quote from a pastor that I've heard is, Sunday morning, the devil is working to, like, cause your kids to act up. The devil's working to, just, like, give you any excuse or reason. Man, it's awfully sunny today. It's warmer than it was yesterday. Any reason he can do, to give us to not be at church. Any reason, right? How many of you do your devotions and then you find that at least once a week, there's something that magically comes up that distracts you from that time in the Word? Does that happen? Or am I the only person that it happens to? That is life, right? But who's doing that? That's not God. That's the devil, right? He's trying to what? Hinder our growth. He's trying to hinder the work of God in our life, okay? So if he's going to hinder that, those things, you think he's going to hinder a missions trip? You think he's going to hinder people, going out to a foreign land and trying to do the work of God? Yeah, I think so. We need to be in prayer. We need to be in prayer. There will always be naysayers. There will always be people that try to get us from doing what God has. We have to be careful who's in our ear. Okay, who's speaking to us? Be careful. I think of this building and people, when we were looking to build and the questions. Well, how are you going to do that? How's that going to get done? Who's going to handle that? And it's like, settle down. Settle down. We know what we're going to keep pushing forward for God, and God's going to take care of it, okay? Sometimes, you know, it's I find it comical how God uses people, and he overcomes the shortcomings that would normally be there, but he's like, you know what, I'm going to make up for that one. I'm going to make up for that one. And what obstacles we as humans with our finite, limited thinking think of and say, well, that's a hurdle. You're never going to get past that one. They're not impossible for God, right? We tend to look at stuff through our lens, and that's not God's lens, okay? Thank God. That's not how he looks at it. He looks at it from a totally different perspective, and that is awesome. God does so many amazing things, but we've got to keep taking it to him, and be careful, right? We always want to be careful, right? I think any time a church is doing something for the Lord, we are just a prime target for the devil's attacks, and we have got to guard. And those attacks start in individuals, guys. He uses people, and we have got to be in prayer. We have got to make sure that we are keeping our own spiritual walk in check, okay? In check. Are we being the person we need to be? Watch who's influencing you. Who has your ear? What music and entertainment choices am I making? Am I starting to question certain things? Just like, I don't really like the way, I don't like this. Okay, take a step back. Who's influencing you? What is causing you to have that thought process? Think about it. Don't just jump to stuff, okay? The devil would love, he loves what? He loves division. He loves to get in there, and he likes to cause a mess. Be careful. We need to stay unified and keep plugging away for the Lord. All right, so we think about verse 2. And that ye may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Jump to verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Despite the crazy attacks of the devil, the falling away of some, despite the fact that in verse 2, all men have not faith, what's the truth that we rely on? God is faithful. He is faithful. God is faithful. What a great thing to be reminded of. God is always faithful. You think of Paul and all he was going through, all those difficulties, right? There's that list that you can find in the Word of God of all these things that he went through, and stonings, shipwreck, all this stuff. Difficulty. Not just, somebody called me stupid. No, these were like serious things on the list, okay? Beatings, you know, these were intense things. But yet, what is Paul reminding this church? The Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. He will establish you. He will keep you from evil. Today's day and age, we are so quick to, you know, I'm going to try this really difficult thing. This is for all of you people that love to be in the gym. You guys may notice this behavior in January. I'm going to do this difficult thing. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to be so fit. This is going to be awesome. And what happens? 15 days, 10 days, by the end of January, what happens? You know what? I got more important things. It's not worth it. And they walk away, and everyone who goes to the gym normally is like, finally, the gym is back to normal. There's room in here to breathe. I don't have all these New Year's resolution people in here anymore. That's the human race, right? I'm going to do this till it gets difficult. That's a lot of us, okay? We like to have the, I'll try it till it gets hard, and then I'm done. Then I'm walking away. And we, as a God, we don't have a God like that. When things get difficult, what is he? He's still there. You know, in the midst of trial and tribulation, he's still there. He doesn't go, well, you know what, I'm here for you. Oh, yeah, it's getting a little too hard. You're on your own. Just have fun. I'll be back here. No, that's not what God does. God is faithful. He will keep us from evil. He is there. And that's why we have to keep going back to him. Keep going back to him. I think of our founding fathers. You know, there's a different mentality, I think. The no-quit attitude. You know, you think of today in the, what is it, the snowflake generation, right? Or the entitled. We're all entitled to certain things. But then I think of like Patrick Henry, right? If he lived today, what would he have been famous for saying? Give me liberty, or I quit. Give me liberty, or I guess we'll just have to deal with the British. No, what did he say? He said, give me liberty or give me death. That's commitment. Okay, that's commitment. And I don't think we'd be a free, I don't know, would Britain still be over us if there wasn't that commitment? Well, guess what? In our Christian walk, we need commitment. We need commitment. I'm in it. God's faithful. I'm going to be faithful to him. If things are hard, guess what? I'm staying in the boat, and I'm going to keep going. I'm not jumping. There are a lot of people that jump when things get difficult, and they just lose their faith. They lose their trust. I think it's a lack of faith, really, what it comes down to. My pastor growing up, Dr. Scudder, would say, he said, trust, you could, he said this, you, many people trust God to save their soul from an eternity in hell, but they don't trust God to give them a hamburger the next day. And it is interesting. We'll trust God for eternity, but man, whew, you should see what I'm dealing with right now. No, it's the same God who offers that eternal security is the same God that's with us day in, day out. We can take it to the bank, all right? Trust his promises. Trust in the Lord. God is faithful. He will establish you, and he will keep you from evil. Go to verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do, if you have a pencil, underline do and will do. Okay, underline those words. We have confidence in the Lord touching you that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Interesting. Paul was at this church, right? He's a church planter. He leaves. He sends a letter back saying, hey, make sure you're praying for us. Pray for the work of God that we're doing here. You know, we're excited what God's doing with you. And we have confidence that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. You're going to stick to what God has for you. You're going to stick to the plan that has been laid out for you. Can that be said of us today? That there's confidence that we're going to stick with it? You know, it's not this temporary thing of, well, I'm with it. I think of a manager. A few managers, people that manage teams or people, whether, I don't know what setting it is, but you think of a manager. A manager wants to know that what? When I walk out the door, work is still going to get done correctly, right? Is that the dream of a manager? I can walk out the door and I don't hear it immediately turn into like a party atmosphere and everyone, well, boss is gone. I'll see you guys. Have a good night. And everyone leaves. Is that bad? Is that a bad environment? That would not be what you want, right? You think about Paul. What did he have? He had confidence that when I walk out the door, I know they're still going to be about what the Lord has for them. I know they're going to do and will continue to do what God has for them. Can that be said of us? When no one's watching, are we doing what God has for us? Are we continuing to seek what God has for us? I pray that it can be said of us. I pray that it can be said of us. I think of Titus 2:7. It says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. What are we showing in all things? A pattern. That's, I know what you're going to do next. You're going to do the next good thing. You're going to do the next right. It's the next right thing, right? That should be us, that pattern. Okay, I know, I have confidence that you're going to do the next thing, the next right thing. All right, keep going. Let's jump to verse 5. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. You know, think about this last verse that we'll cover today. What is it? The Lord direct your hearts. I kind of think of a funnel. Direct your hearts into the love of God. What are we all united in? A love for God. What unites us here today? Well, we don't all have the same job. We don't all have the same passions, right? Some of us like woodworking. Some of us like golf. Some of us like fishing. Some of us like boating. We may not all line up on those things, but what unites us? It should be what? The love for God, right? That's what unites everyone here. That's what should unite us, is a love for God. That's where it all comes together. So you see Paul painting this picture, the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. You think of someone, Paul, being away from this church, and he's writing back a letter from the mission field where he's working and planting churches, and he's saying, pray for us, pray for the gospel, you know, pray for people that would attack us. You know, I pray that you're continuing to do and be faithful, that you'll continue. I have confidence that you'll do this. But I also have a vision for you, that you'll stay united. United in what? The love for God. A love for God. And then what else? A love for God and a patient waiting for Christ. Interesting. Interesting. A church united is a powerful thing. United in the love of Christ, that's an awesome thing, okay? We would, as human beings, we have a tendency to get our feelings hurt. We have a tendency to get our feathers ruffled, our toes stepped on. I will not say things the right way all the time or any of the time. Pastor Dan will not say things the right way all the time. It's not going to happen. And at the end of the day, what do we have to do? We have to realize, you know what? I'm here because God wants me here. I'm here because this is where God has called me, and I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to be faithful because God is faithful. And that's what I'm going to model my life after. Okay? Lord, direct your hearts into the love of God, that unity. Because, guys, a church that doesn't have unity is a mess. Okay? It's a terrible, terrible testimony to the world. Right? A church that is tearing themselves apart. I remember hearing a message from Dr. Stringer. He took over this church that was totally divided. And the last pastor, I believe, had a heart attack during the last church meeting that they had because there was so much division and so much stress. And he came in. I think he was a pastor for a while there. That's not a testimony to the world of God, let alone the love of God. Well, what should we be about? You know what? I'm going to check my ego at the door. My bedroom door. Okay? It's not even coming outside. Okay? I'm leaving my ego. I'm leaving all that behind. And I just want to serve. I want to encourage my fellow believers. I want to do the work that God has for me. That's what this is saying. Check all that other stuff to the side. Let's be united for a purpose. Let's get the gospel out. May it have free course. May we be dependent on God as we do it, and may the Lord direct our hearts into the love of God, and what? And what's the next thing? Into the patient waiting for Christ. You know what? Christ's return could be any day, guys. It could be any day. And we should be ready. We should be ready. Our hearts should be ready. It shouldn't be, you know, oh, crud. You know, I think of my parents coming home from their missions trips. You know what we would do the day before? Any of the messes that we had made that Grandma hadn't cleaned up. Come on, Grandma, you're supposed to clean those up for us. No, make the kids do it. It's good. And so we would be making our beds. We would be cleaning the bathrooms. We'd get the pillows straightened up on the couches. We knew that car was pulling in anytime. Man, we were ready for them. We were waiting at the door. We were excited for them to return. It's the same thing. That's the way it should be with God, right? That's the way it should be. I'm excited for his return. I'm not dreading it. Oh, crud, man, the fun's over. Or, oh, crud, man, wait till, oh, man, they're going to kill us when they get home. Oh, you broke it. I didn't break it, right? Like that, no. That, what heart should we have? We should have a heart of, man, I'm longing for his return. I'm ready. Wouldn't it be awesome if he came today? That'd be so awesome, right? My pastor with Dr. Scudder, another quote, I don't know, for some reason, it's amazing how long you sit under a pastor and you have certain lines that he would repeat that just kind of come to your brain. He's like, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker. You know, I want to go up. What an awesome thing. May our hearts be unified into a love for God and just waiting till he comes. Wait till he comes, till he calls me home, or he comes down and comes for me and I go up. Either way, I'm just going to wait patiently. I'm going to be who I need to be. And you know what? If we all have that heart, Dayspring will do amazing things and will continue to do amazing things for the Lord. What an awesome thing. What an awesome thing. And then at the end of our lives, what can we say? I think of Paul, if we think about another letter that he wrote, 2 Timothy 4:7-8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Man, I can't wait for him. Man, that is awesome. That is awesome. We need to be in the Word, guys. We need to be in the Word, and we need to find our hope. Our hope is not found in Fox News. God bless Sean Hannity, but I get depressed at the end of his show, okay? We have got to find our hope in God and in his Word. That's why he gave it to us, all right? It keeps us, our brain geared the way it needs to be geared. If we're just worried about fixing all the world's problems, we are being distracted from our true purpose, okay? Our true purpose is not to, you know, I believe in voting. I believe in being active in our local communities and doing our civic duty. That's awesome. We should be informed voters. I think that's great. But our sole job on this planet is not to save the United States of America. Our sole job as Christians is what? To get the gospel out, to do the work of the ministry, all right? That's our job. That's our job. So, church, take a challenge from the letter that Paul wrote. Pray that the gospel would have free course. All right, Pastor Dan, they're entering a busier portion of their trip. I think it's going to be crazy. I was hearing some of the scheduling. It's going to be crazy these last few days, and it's going to be a whirlwind all the way till they, you know, they're off on a plane back to us. They need prayer. They need God's strength. All right, they need to stay healthy. All right, you think about safety and health. Why do they need those things? It's so that they can do the mission that they're on, right? If Pastor Dan's sick and can't get out of bed, what does it impact? Well, it impacts him. No, it impacts the gospel message getting out to these pastors, okay? That's why we're praying for those things. It all ties together for the gospel. Make sure we keep them in prayer. And I look forward to hearing stories and just different experiences next Sunday, because next Sunday morning we will have some good testimonies, and there will be a ton more picks that we can show you guys, and it's just good stuff. So please keep them in prayer. God is at work. God is at work. The gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth for sinners like you and me, lived a perfect life, died on a cross, was buried, and 3 days later rose again. And he did it all to pay for our sin, okay? Our mistakes, our shortcomings. That's the gospel, all right? John 3:16 paints a great picture. It says, "For God so loved the world," that's everyone. It's not limited to any individual group. It's the world, everyone, okay? Jesus Christ died for all. He died for all. That God gave his only begotten Son. Who's that only begotten Son? That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. That whosoever, anyone, whosoever, it's anyone. Think of Stringer. Whosoever surely meaneth me. It means you. It's anyone. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, go to hell, but have everlasting life. You can go to heaven. How do you do it? Belief. Belief. Okay? Christ did the work. It's just putting our trust in it. Okay? Right now, I am believing that this stage will hold me up, and that Matt Crownover did the math right, and that the framing's strong enough, okay? Which we tested it really good with that baptism. You know, that was a good test for it. Keep filling that thing up with water. But right now, I believe this stage is going to hold me up. Am I doing the work? Who's doing the work? What's doing the work? The stage is, right? I'm not like, I'm trying to. No, the stage is doing it, right? It's holding me up. I'm not doing the work. It's the same thing with salvation. Christ did the work. It's done. It is finished, right? That's what he said on the cross. It is finished. I'm just putting my belief in what he did, okay? And that's what it is. It's not of works, okay? Ephesians 2:8-9 says this. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's not what you do. It's not your works. It's not about you. It's about what Jesus did on the cross. It's the gift of God, a gift at Christmas. You receive it. My grandma was opening up presents. What do you get a 95-year-old? It's like, she got a lot of sweaters, right? She's always cold, and turtlenecks, and some pictures. But a gift, what? She didn't pay us for those gifts. She just accepted those gifts. Well, salvation is a gift. All you do is accept it. You receive it, okay? You don't have to work. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. If it was of works, and I'm convinced of this, I am so convinced of this. So many churches put works in there because of man-made doctrine. Because, man, if I can work it, I can thump my chest. I'm the man. Guess who's getting to heaven on his own merit? Look what I did. Eesh. That's pride, guys. That's pride. There's no room for pride. Guess what? It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We're not going to be boasting about, check me out, I did it. No. No. Christ did it. Christ did it all. Put your belief in what he did. He died on the cross for you and for me. If we believe that he died for, in our place for our sin, we are seen as perfect, and we can spend eternity in heaven. What an awesome, awesome thing. All right, let's pray, and we'll be done for today. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for the preserved word of God, the living word that is as applicable today as it was when it was written. It is awesome, and it can change lives, and does. Lord, we thank you for the letter that Paul wrote, challenging the church in Thessalonica to pray for the free course of the gospel. Lord, that people would accept the gospel message, that they would see their need for a Savior, Jesus Christ, and that they would accept it. They would put their belief in him, and that they would have eternal life. They would spend eternity in heaven with you. Lord, I pray for us all to be united in a love for you, that we would put aside pettiness, that we would put aside things that the devil would do to hinder us. Lord, that we would be united and wait patiently for you and do the work that you've given to us till you come. Lord, what an awesome thing, what a powerful thing it is when a church is united for the faith of the gospel. Lord, help us to be striving together for that. Lord, we pray for anyone here who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Lord, would you work in their heart that today they would put their trust in you, that you died in their place on the cross. You paid for their sin. That's why you died. 3 days later, you rose again from the tomb, proving you had conquered and paid for that sin. Lord, we thank you so much for the free gift of salvation. Lord, I pray that no one would walk out of this building without having that settled. We don't know how long we have. No day is guaranteed. Lord, help us to be ready for your return, ready for when we are take our last breath. We know what's waiting on the other side. And I'm so glad that so many people here know that. When we die, we will be in heaven. Or when you call us home, or if you meet us in the air, what an awesome thing. What an awesome thing to hope for that. Lord, we pray for the mission team, Lord, that you would strengthen them. Lord, that you would just be with their health, be with their safety as they travel those roads. Lord, that you would just be with their different ministry opportunities coming up. Different opportunities with kids ministry, different opportunities in a Bible college and churches, impacting pastors and students. Lord, we pray for just a blessing on the team. Lord, as they do your work, Lord, we pray that we would all do our part and be supporting them in prayer. And Lord, that it would just be an awesome thing. Lord, we look forward to next Sunday, to hearing testimonies, be with their flights as they return home this week. Lord, we pray for just an awesome awesome, awesome time of testimonies next week, and that we would all be here to be built up in our faith and to see what you're doing in our world that needs you so badly. Lord, we praise you for this church and for the clear gospel that it proclaims of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for just the faithfulness of this body of believers. Lord, help us to continue on. Help us to be faithful, not to jump out of the boat, but to stay in and keep plugging away for you. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
are very interested in you and your spiritual growth. If you want to contact Dayspring for prayer or more information, you can reach us at 262-404-5092 or on the web at dayspringbaptist.com. Thanks for listening.